Welcome back. We continue with our study, Developing Great Commission Skills. We're working on the skill of managing ministry time. And today, our skill topic is meetings on purpose. Meetings on purpose. Your mind should already be spinning here as you think about meetings on purpose. What does that mean exactly? And could it be that lots of meetings are happening that are off purpose, that are not on purpose? So let's just dive in. In an earlier session, I mentioned a book called Time Cleanse, The Time Cleanse by Stephen Griffith. It carries the subtitle, A Proven System to Eliminate Wasted Time, Realize Your Full Potential, and Reinvest in What Matters Most. Now, in chapter 4 of this book, Stephen Griffith deals with what he calls time toxins. Time toxins. Here is how he defines time toxin. He says, any behavior, activity, habit, person, place, or thing that consumes, steals, hijacks, or contaminates your time and causes you to become stuck, stalled, or stopped when working toward what matters most to you. There's a lot of words there, a lot of language. It's rather poetic, I would say. But the bottom line is this. Anything that crashes into your time and steals time from you is a time toxin. So I want to make note of the 10 time toxins that Stephen Griffith mentions in chapter 4 of his book, The Time Cleanse. First of all, social media, no surprise there. He says, you're spending an hour on Facebook or other social media when you're bored or tired. One hour might be a very conservative figure. Gossip. You're spending an extra 20 minutes a day gossiping and talking at the coffee shop. Number 3, television, online movies. You've developed a long-time habit of watching endless television at night. You're binge-watching 24/7. Number 4, negative people. You used to enjoy spending time with an old friend. He's now disenchanted with life and complains all the time. Engaging with negative people is a time toxin. He mentions overwork. Increased demands at work have pushed your sales calls to the end of the day when you're tired and fatigued. Timing is off for your best performance. I think that seems to be the way it goes, that the longer you are at a particular job, it seems that there are increased demands that keep increasing. Rarely do I ever hear about the demands on a particular position being lessened in any way. That just seems to be the norm. So let's continue. Number 6, texting. What started as a small way to stay in touch with friends has now become a constant distraction. I dare say even an obsession. Not long ago, I was my wife and I were taking care of two of our grandkids, and we live in a community that has a pool and a recreation center and a little playground. And so I had taken one or both of them up to the playground so they could get some outdoor activity, some physical activity, and there were three little girls up there, I would say ages 8, 9, somewhere in that range. They were sitting side by side on a bench inside the playground area, and each of the three had a personal cell phone, and each of the three had their faces buried in that cell phone. And we were up there for probably I would say 45 minutes to an hour. And during that entire time, every time I glanced over at that bench, those three girls buried in their cell phones, not engaging with each other and certainly not engaging with any physical activity. All right, number six. I guess I got them out of order here. Number six is the news. I gave you number seven there. Number six, the news. You know, there are folks these days that you might think of as news junkies. They're trying to keep up with everything that's out there the moment it surfaces. And, you know as well as I that a lot of what's being portrayed in quote, news is highly subjective, really pushing a certain point of view, a certain agenda, a certain worldview. But there are some that just get hooked. They want to hear everything that's being said when it's being said. They don't want to be left out. Jumping down to number eight, your phone. Constantly reaching for your phone, going through to check out your email. There's a million and one ways for a digital phone to occupy your time. Number nine, shopping. Endless hours looking at, comparing, researching the things you can buy. Lots and lots of things now. I don't know what the statistics are. I do know that there is a constant stream of delivery vans coming into my neighborhood, Amazon and others, delivering packages all the time. My house included. It seems that in the evenings, as things sort of shut down, your computer comes out, you go online, you start thumbing through and finding things. People, find things they want to buy, and so they buy them online. You know, it used to be that if you wanted to buy something, it required a little bit of effort. You had to actually get up off your sofa. You had to go and somewhere to the market or to the store and physically shop and look around and buy things and bring them home. Now you can just sit in your house and buy just about anything that you want, anything that you can afford. So shopping is a time toxin. And finally, multitasking. You know, we've spoken of multitasking multiple times throughout our series. And what we're finding here, of course, is that multitasking is a way to do a whole lot of things at the same time, but none of them very well. And so multitasking in and of itself is a time toxin. Now, here's a time cleanse question that might frequently be on your mind. Is this, whatever I'm doing, whatever activity I'm engaged in at this moment, is this contributing or is this contaminating to my happiness or to my success? Or have I been trapped into having my time taken by these distractions that I have become interested in, and in some cases, perhaps even obsessed with? Well, here's a question for you. Self-analysis. Are you suffering from any of these time toxins? As you work your way down the list, which of these is impacting you in a negative way? And you might also think in terms of, other time toxins that maybe weren't included in this list. What is poisoning your effective use of time? And within the context of our discussion, specifically, what is poisoning your ministry time? Any of these 10? My guess, for most of us, that there's at least two or three things on this list that might be issues for us, as well as perhaps something that's not on this list. Well, our skill topic is meetings on purpose. So the question we want to ask now is, how does meetings on purpose interface with time toxins? Well, I want to show you a diagram. I'm referring to this as the meetings continuum. At one pole, we have meetings on purpose. At the other end of the continuum, we have meetings off purpose. Now, I think that Stephen Griffith would argue that most meetings that take place in most organizations, including churches, are a waste of time, or at least partially waste time. Lost time creates time pressure, and time pressure, whether it's at work, in some professional pursuit or ministry, time pressure leads to overwork, one of the common time toxins. So, I want to spend a little time talking about meetings on purpose. First of all, let's think in terms of definition. A meeting on purpose is a meeting that is convened to discuss predetermined, pre-identified items and to make predetermined, pre-identified decisions. So before I ever go to a meeting, if that meeting is truly going to be on purpose, I know what the purpose is. I know what the items are that are going to be on the agenda. I know what decisions are going to need to be made. And so I come into the meeting fully prepared to deal with those items and make those decisions. That's why we're meeting. This is a meeting on purpose. Now, a meeting that is off purpose would be a meeting that is convened that hasn't identified specific items, that hasn't identified specific decisions. It's just a meeting. Now, in the church, what often happens is certain types of meetings become routine. So a lot of churches, for example, we'll have a staff meeting every Monday morning, every Tuesday morning, something like that. Well, oftentimes there's no real set agenda other than, well, our staff always meets. It could be some other type of meeting, but unless we have identified, here's the agenda, and particularly these are decisions that need to be made, we're really just gathering almost randomly. And the time that we spend in those meetings is often time wasted. Now, recently, I was asked to attend a meeting. It had to do with my possibly being contracted to serve in a particular capacity with this church. And so there was a team of people, a committee that had been formed, that were in charge of having that discussion with me as we determined whether or not to enter into that partnership. Well, it was a good 3-hour drive for me. And so I thought through the meeting. I anticipated what I believed the kinds of things that would be discussed. I knew the nature of the meeting, so I had some idea. No one had informed me of anything specific other than our committee, we'd like to speak with you about this partnership. I left early enough that I could arrive in the area about 2 hours ahead of the meeting. And the reason I did that was I wanted to spend some time doing a little bit of reconnaissance patrol in the community. I wanted to see where the church was located. I wanted to see what the community was like. Was it a business community? Was it an industrial community? Were there schools nearby? What was the residential makeup of the area? I wanted to get a feel for that church in that particular community. But as I was driving there, I'm on the interstate, and I pulled over at a rest area, and I did that in part to check, my email and text messages. Well, I discovered that an email had come from the chairman of that committee, and the email said something like, these are some questions we would like to address today. Bear in mind, we're just a couple of hours away from having the meeting. And all of a sudden, this list of questions that weren't necessarily in an order, they weren't exactly related to each other, and they were very, very big, broad questions. And, you know, what I realized is that the person that is chairing this committee really hasn't thought this through. But at the last minute, deadline, the last minute has decided, well, let me put some thoughts on paper. But it's more like random thoughts, brainstorm thoughts. But, you know, I took note of those. I didn't have a printer or anything with me. I couldn't be looking at my little phone while I'm trying to drive. So I actually took the time to hand write all those questions down so that I could glance at them while I was driving and give them some thought. I arrived. I checked out the area like I planned to. I went to the meeting at the appointed time. And guess what? What I discovered is that, number one, of the, 17 questions that were on this list, maybe two were actually asked. It was very clear to me that the other committee members were unaware of that list of questions. It was very clear to me that they were not prepared for this meeting. They weren't prepared for this discussion. Things were being asked of me that had already been covered previously through email and one-on-one voice communication that obviously had not been made available to the committee at large. I was trapped in a meeting that was off purpose. Now, it was helpful for me to be there. It was helpful for me to meet those folks and spend some time with them. And I continue at this very moment to be in discussion with them about a potential partnership. But that was a classic example of a meeting without purpose. And I don't know that it was really helpful to anyone in any particular way. Well, what we want to do is we want to establish a meetings on purpose culture. And in order to do that, we have to start crafting, curating meetings that have a vital and clearly stated purpose. This is when we're meeting, this is where we're meeting, this is who's going to be there, these are the things that are going to be on the agenda, these are some decisions that have to be made. Those kinds of things need to be addressed. Time is a non-replenishable resource. We cannot waste time. So I'd like to encourage operating from what I'm going to call a pre-meeting checklist. Now, how does that work? Well, here's some ideas, things that might be part of a pre-meeting checklist. You know, why are we meeting? What is the purpose? Who will be attending? When and where will the meeting be held? What is the starting time? What is the ending time? By the way, it's critical to establish a healthy meeting culture that you start on time and that you end on time, unless you end early. Ending early is a bonus. What decisions need to be made at this meeting? What actions will be determined at this meeting? What is expected of me at this meeting? What are my responsibilities? I want to make sure that I know what role I am supposed to play at this meeting, and I want to be prepared to play that role. Now, there might be other questions that you would include in a pre-meeting checklist. My advice would be that you begin with at least these questions on the checklist, and over time, as you get more skilled at holding meetings on purpose, that you refine that list and really shape it into something that works for you. But you're making sure that everyone has everything they need to attend a meeting prepared. The meeting's going to start on time. It's going to do what it said it was going to do. We're going to take the actions. We're going to move things along. And when we're done, we're done. And we are going to be adjourning following a very satisfying meeting where everyone feels like, wow, I didn't waste my time. In fact, that was really helpful. We really got a lot done today. Wouldn't you love to walk away from the average meeting feeling like, wow, that was great. We really got to it. We really got a lot done today. Now, here's a tip for you. Think about this. Meetings should have a time clock. Maybe that's a little overstated. But the idea here is, if we're going to respect time allotment, we need to respect the clock. We can't just allow things to drone on. We need to set some time frames. Like if we're having a discussion, maybe we decide that anyone that wants to speak to that discussion has 2 minutes, something of that sort. There's this really interesting book that I have. It's called Say It, S-A-Y, Say It in Six, How to Say Exactly What You Mean in 6 Minutes or Less. It's written by a gentleman named Ron Hoff. It's an older book, business book. But the idea is to say, you know, if you're prepared to have something to say at a particular meeting, now we're not talking about discussion here, we're talking about presentation, that you need to get it said in 6 minutes. And if you go over 6 minutes, you've gone over time. You haven't done your homework to really succinctly refine your presentation. So 6 minutes or less is all you get for a presentation. Some of you might be baseball fans. You might be aware that in Major League Baseball this year in the U.S., there is now a pitch clock that is being employed that limits the amount of time between pitches. And there are a few nuances to this, but the batter has only so many seconds to get in the batter's box. The pitcher has only so many seconds to deliver the next pitch. You know, what has happened in the sport of professional baseball is games have stretched and stretched and stretched to where the average game is well over 3 hours. So in an effort to make the game more interesting and lively and speed things up, they are, this year, they are for the first time dealing with a pitch clock in the sport of professional baseball. Interesting. Trying to overcome their time toxins, no doubt. Think about it this way. If 8 people are in a meeting and an hour is wasted, then in total, 8 hours are wasted. And that's at minimum. Because we also have to think about the time lost leading up to the meeting and following the meeting. You know, when you're in work mode and a meeting is coming up, your brain is shifting to the meeting. There's a little bit of gathering things together and transporting yourself to the meeting, being involved in the meeting and then getting back. So, you know, a 1 hour meeting might cost you, say, 2 hours of time. So let's say if we've got 8 people involved in a meeting that waste the hour of the meeting itself, then you've also wasted the time it took to get there and get back. 2 hours. So now you got 16 hours that could have been productive that have been lost. So these are the kinds of things we need to think about in terms of time management when we're looking at the value and the posturing of the meetings that are part of our routine ministry lives. So we have reached the end of our video, Managing Ministry Time Meetings on Purpose. And I hope that you will take the opportunity to engage with some of these ideas in terms of meetings that you're part of, as well as perhaps to do some further examination of your own engagement with some of these time toxins, or even a time toxin or two that was not mentioned. Now, next time, we will be continuing with our, in fact, it'll be our final video concerning managing ministry time, and we are going to be focusing on a rather sensitive issue, teaching and preaching preparation. Lots of time is lost, particularly for pastors who are preaching on a regular basis, when it comes to teaching and preaching preparation. So we'll take a look at that next time. In the meantime, may God bless your ongoing studies. In the name of Jesus, amen.